You are Locked On Rockies, your daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Rockies fans, welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast. I am your host, Paul Holden, and I am joined today, crossing over for the first time, I get to finally meet Locked On Dodgers here. We have Vincent joining us. Vincent, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Nice to finally get the crossover going.
Yeah, absolutely. In today's episode of Locked On Rockies is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. I'm going to get started with that real soon. I keep talking about it, but I just got to go and do it. But it's coming soon, Rockies fans, I promise. But Vincent, why don't you, for those, since this is my first time, I'd love a little introduction. Tell me a little bit about yourself for the Rockies fans out there.
Yeah, I'm Vince Samperio, host of Locked On Dodgers. I also run a Dodger page called Chavez Ravine Fiends. Born in L.A., pretty much been in L.A. all my life, minus 3 years where I moved away for work. But now I'm back out here. And, yeah, pretty much at Dodger Stadium, at least 80% of the game. So, yeah, it's been fun the season so far. And excited to talk. Actually, won't be at any games this weekend, but excited to talk about it anyways.
Missing out. I mean, this is the series of the season. I mean, there's so much on the line here. Of course, kidding. It's not 2018 anymore. The teams are very different. So the Dodgers, they start a little slow, but obviously come alive. I don't think anyone was too surprised to see where they're at. But what the heck is going on with the Giants? What is this? It's just classic Giants stuff. Am I right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of the Giants magic that they had in the early 2010s mixed with some actual smart people in the front office. The Dodgers former GM Farhan Zaidi's over there. He's kind of done what he did with the Dodgers, which is find random guys and turn them into borderline all-star players, or in some cases all-star players. So, yeah, it's a matter of, I thought they were going to at some point fall off, but we're almost in August now and they haven't fallen off yet. And honestly, after playing them the last 4 days and, you know, the Dodgers losing two of those in the ninth inning, they're a team that's here to stay. They got a legit lineup. Their starting pitching is strong enough. And with the farm system they have and with the, you know, everything else, they might go get a couple guys here before the deadline. So, yeah, it's going to be the first divisional race for the Dodgers since 2018 and one of the only ones since they started this run back in 2013.
And that's an interesting, I mean, because going into this season, it seemed like it was another no doubt. The Padres obviously are going to be there, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They are the powerhouse of the NL West. They have been for so long. With the deadline looming, what are you looking for the Dodgers to do? Anything in particular? And also, your quick comments on some of the national writers thinking the Rockies would actually do a trade with the Dodgers, because I couldn't see that happening in a million years.
Yeah, after the reports for the Arenado stuff in the offseason where it basically wasn't going to happen going to the Dodgers, you know, Germán Márquez is a name that has been not linked, but just kind of mentioned in the same breath as the Dodgers. And yeah, we haven't even discussed that really on the podcast just because we don't think it's going to happen anyways. But yeah, for the trade deadline, I mean, the Dodgers with the Trevor Bauer news and the fact that he's probably not going to pitch for the Dodgers this year. Clayton Kershaw is currently on the injured list. Dustin May was lost back a couple months ago. They need starting pitching. Obviously, everyone that's a contender probably needs starting pitching, so that's going to make it a little tough. They need starting pitching. Relief pitching, even with Kenley Jansen blowing the save last two nights, that was more of a product of Dave Roberts, maybe more so than him specifically, since, you know, he probably shouldn't have been pitching last night anyways. There should be getting Jimmy Nelson and Corey Kniebel back the next couple weeks. So that's kind of like getting two relievers anyways. And the other part that they may need is an infielder or some type of position player, just for the fact that Corey Seager's hurt. We don't know exactly when he's coming back. Gavin Lux hurt his hamstring. He'll be out for a few weeks. So, and they've already been, you know, Justin Turner needs more days off than normal. And so they might need an infielder type to just fill in just in case. So starting pitching is like priority number one by a long shot. And then everything else just kind of falls in under that.
With all of those things you just listed of issues that are facing the Dodgers and injuries to big name players, you'd think that they'd be in a way worse position than they are, but that's just simply not the case. I mean, that's just a testament to what the Dodgers are able to do. I mean, so do you think it's a realistic, like a Scherzer type of starter, starting pitching type of deal? Do you think that's something that the Dodgers are going to try to go after?
I would prefer it be something like that, especially right now. Like I said, Kershaw, Buehler, and Julio would be the top three starters heading into any playoff position, or, you know, any playoff game, any playoff series. The number four starter probably would, I prefer someone like a Max Scherzer to slot in somewhere in between those guys. But, you know, with everyone looking for starting pitching, with the premium kind of being in the past on starting pitching and what it costs to get that, the Dodgers just don't have that prospect depth that they had in recent years. A lot of the guys have either worked their way up to the majors, been traded, or just haven't really worked out. There's been a couple guys that came up this year that just haven't really shown too much. The good thing for the Dodgers is that they do have a top catching prospect, Keibert Ruiz, who's been absolutely tearing it up in AAA, and who they don't necessarily have a need for on the major league roster because of Will Smith and even Austin Barnes to a certain extent as a backup. So Keibert's a guy that the Dodgers can definitely use to go get it if someone's looking for a catcher that can slot in either right now or as early as next year. I'm hoping for the big splash, but, you know, just knowing the market and knowing how Andrew Friedman works, it might be a case where they go get two or three lower tier starters and just see what sticks.
Yeah, at least there's some movements and talks of movements. Rockies trade talks have basically gone cold up until yesterday, where the Yankees come out and apparently are connected to maybe some Trevor Story trade action. I don't know if the Rockies necessarily are going to do anything. I don't know if I have the confidence that the Rockies make a deal. I figure that they've kind of missed the boat on getting the max value for Trevor Story, I think, at this point in the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting case that, you know, what are you holding them on for is kind of the big thing. You know, there's really no reason other than sentimental value, which at this point, sentimental value doesn't really help you now or later. So it's, you know, I figured he'd be gone for sure. And it still might happen. You know, some of these teams like the Yankees, they came out after the break pretty hot before last night. And now they want maybe to go for it. Other teams might want to go for it. You know, the Mets have been kind of struggling. There's a couple of teams in the East that are close enough that they might go for it. So, yeah, on your guys' end, I'd be sell, sell, sell. And at this point, you know, just go for the full-on rebuild. You're already at a point where you're not that good, and the division's really tough now, especially with the Giants stepping up a year before everyone else thought. So it's kind of the point where, you know what, just sell off anything you can and just completely tear it down, which sucks. But, you know, at some point, there's teams that do it on purpose, and there's some teams that just – that's just the crossroads they came to.
Yeah, I mean, and if that's the position you put yourself in, and you have to fully embrace it. And the Rockies have not done that. They don't like to use the word rebuild. They don't like actually committing to something like that. And they should have. I mean, if you trade Nolan Arenado in the offseason, that's already a sign that you're changing the direction and you should make big changes. It should have been a way different team at the start of this season, just to see where we're at. So, yeah, just completely do it. But then this team goes off and plays well above 500 baseball at home, and I think that's enough for owner Dick Monfort to say I'm okay, and interim GM Bill Schmidt to just say we'll take the compensatory draft pick if he signs somewhere else in free agency, which is ludicrous to me. It just doesn't make any sense for Rockies fans, and that's just what's so frustrating, because this team was competitive and was just a simple other signs to making. I still think if the team had Nolan, Story, and DJ in the infield with not Ian Desmond playing first base, this team is up, and you have basically the same starters minus Austin Gomber. This team is able to at least compete like they did in 2018. It's such a big head scratcher that they just opened the contention window with these players and then just slammed it completely shut and don't want to do anything to change the state of the team right now.
Yeah, it's been, you know, weird 2 years for you guys. 2018, you take the Dodgers to game 163, which was, you know, slightly a product of the Dodgers underperforming a bit, but also the Rockies playing really well and forcing that game, and, you know, didn't quite work out. And you would think that would have been the stepping stone to more success, and it didn't work out that way, and it's gone downhill really fast. And it's just like I said, at the point where they're at, the Dodgers are probably here to stay, the Padres are trying to be here to stay, the Giants are just getting started where they actually want to be here to stay. So it's just a matter of, you know, the writing's on the wall for the NL West, and it might be time to just, you know, go ahead and make that move. The Diamondbacks didn't try to do that, it just happened, and now, you know, they should be selling as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're in the market to buy the best tasting protein bar ever, I got to tell you about Built Bar. And it has so many delicious flavors. There's something for everyone. Coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. I mean, that's just a rock solid list. If that was your lineup there, you'd be pretty happy with how that looks. My favorite flavor is the German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can check out the mixed box where you'll get two of each of the nine flavors. Each bar is healthy too, 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories range from 130 to 180. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're all amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Also, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, so that's pretty cool. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. 15% off at built.com with promo code LOCKED15. We're talking to Vince Amperio here of Locked On Dodgers. Well, we talked enough about a lot about the trade stuff, and there's an actual baseball series that's going to happen this weekend. But it's the Road Rockies taking on the Dodgers. Last time these two teams met, the Dodgers went into Coors Field, and Mookie Betts single-handedly destroyed the team. That's not true. They went on to, I think, outscore the Rockies by over 10 runs in the series. But Chichi Gonzalez takes the bump tonight. I'm not expecting big things. The last time the Dodgers saw Chichi Gonzalez, they had a nice offensive day. Vince, what are you hoping for this series? Something for the Dodgers to get back in their winning ways after a tough series with the Giants?
Yeah, I'm hoping that they don't head into the ninth inning with the one run or two run lead. That's the biggest thing. You know, for the Dodgers this weekend specifically, it's just a matter of, I think the Giants play the Pirates, so it's more of trying to keep pace, making sure they win. And they got two of the three games, or actually all three games are starting. The starting pitchers are guys that maybe won't go more than five innings, depending how things go. David Price going today, who is barely starting to get stretched out as a starter. I'm not sure exactly what his pitch count numbers be, but shouldn't expect more than four innings from him unless he's really efficient and gets into the fifth. Tony Gonsolin, the guy who should be stretched out by now, but has only gone past five innings one time this season and struggled really bad in his last start. And then you got Josiah Gray, who just made his major league debut this week and going on Sunday. He's a guy who's stretched out to around 80, 85 pitches, but, you know, just depends how efficient he is, how deep he goes. So it's a matter of getting those guys to be as efficient, going as deep into the game as possible, trying to preserve the bullpen a little bit because they will have another series with the Giants after this. And then, you know, just a matter of the offense trying to step up. Corey Seager was supposed to come back. He's not sure entirely that when that's going to happen next month. He's missing this entire series for the birth of his first kid. So it's going to be, they're going to be down a couple people already. Cody Bellinger hasn't had a hit in about a week. So the offense has to step up. And I'm just hoping what you alluded to, the Road Rockies, is what comes into the Dodger Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, a reminder out there for Rockies fans, if you weren't aware, more walk-off wins for the Rockies than road wins this year, and they're going up against a Dodgers team that is very much in the mindset that they need to win, especially as many games in the NL West as possible. I know the Rockies are a moon's length away from the top there, but division games seem to always be a little more important. No one more excited than Rockies fans for the birth of Max Muncy's first child, so they don't have to watch Max Muncy rip the team to shreds as he just has a habit of doing. Well, I talked about this yesterday for the Rockies this weekend. If you do go into LA and have some success, this is a moment that you think the team is a little, you know, is just kind of underperforming, quote unquote. That's not the case for the team, but it's a matter of this is just a really weird season and they should have more road wins, but it's all going to depend on this bullpen that they have relied on this year that has just not been good. And it can give the teams like the Dodgers when they get opportunities, they always seem to take advantage of it, especially against teams like the Rockies. So if they're gonna capitalize on some you know, people missing from the lineup and injuries and underperforming from the Dodgers, they got to do it, and they got to do it quickly. But Price seems to have I mean he's in, at least his stats, he's been pretty good this year, and the last time he was out against the Rockies, he fared pretty well.
It's been a pleasant surprise, David Price, this year. Not only the fact of how well he's pitching, but just his stuff. He's back up to 94, occasionally touching 95 with the fastball. His changeups look really good. And, yeah, he's started out in the bullpen, had a rough, his first outing against the Rockies was pretty rough, but then after that it has really settled in after that and been a guy the Dodgers could count on in the later innings, and now counting on to, he started a couple of the bullpen games and now he's kind of officially a starter in the sense where he's stretching out to at least make it five innings until the Dodgers maybe make a trade and get somebody else in there. So yeah, it's been a nice pleasant surprise, especially since he was, you know, kind of the throw-in in the Mookie Betts trade. Mookie Betts has obviously paid off pretty well so far in the first season and a half. But you know, for David Price to also fare well is just an extra bonus for the Dodgers.
It's just one of those trades where it's just like, wow. I mean, that was blockbuster. And Mookie Betts is just the definition of a person I would love to be on my team for a long, long time. I there's a lot of great players and a lot of great young players in the game right now. And Mookie Betts is obviously still young, but he's been so good for so long and such a, I can only imagine what that's meant for Dodgers fans. I mean, he's just such a delight.
Yeah. I mean, when they make the trade, and you expect to only have them the 1 year, and then it's the, you know, 2020 pandemic year, then you're not really sure if you're even going to have them for the 1 year. They end up re-signing them right before last season, which is today was the, I think the season started, opening day was this year, last year. So kind of crazy when you think about it, that the season hadn't even started at this point last year. And yeah, it's just been a joy. Obviously, you know, right now he's down a little bit, but got hurt in that game last week against the Rockies, hip irritation. It hasn't really gotten better. He hasn't played yet. Then he might go on the injured list. So that might be another guy out of the lineup for the Dodgers against the Rockies. But yeah, just, it's a joy to see him play each and every day.
Yeah. I mean, and it's always great when you get to the Dodgers have had so many great players and but they have so many players that don't have the big names, but then when a player like Mookie Betts gets to come, it just makes everything so much more exciting. So with all these injuries, with all of the you know, hurdles kind of facing the Dodgers, what do you still expect a pretty successful weekend for the Dodgers?
I'm kind of trained to, I kind of have to, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, even with everything out, Chris Taylor's been on fire. He's still in the lineup. Justin Turner's been on fire in the month of July. He's still in the lineup. AJ Pollock has the most home runs, I think, in the majors in the month of July, or at least did a couple of days ago. He's still in the lineup. So there's still guys in the lineup that can do it. And, you know, no offense to the Rockies pitching staff, but they're not, you know, well, they're not going to beat the wall down. So I still expect the Dodgers to take at least two out of three, hopefully go for the sweep. But it's honestly just going to be really a matter of the first day, or, you know, how deep Price goes is going to affect the rest of the series. Because if every pitcher goes four or five innings, then they're going to have to cover four or five innings every game. And, you know, that's just tough on a bullpen. So I'm hopeful that they are going to get the sweep. And that's more so of, you know, just the fact that that's what I want more so rather than that's what I think is going to happen.
Right. Yeah, it really can vary. I mean, I think today is an interesting one with Chi-Chi, but Kyle Freeland and John Gray, the other two expected starters. And if John Gray is on the trading block, I think that's something to watch. If he goes out and has another good start against the Dodgers, I think some teams might be a little bit more interested in that, especially with it being a road performance. That's one storyline I'm kind of watching. I think the Rockies are going to try to bring Gray back. I think they value pitching a lot. They value this starting rotation that has been successful at home very, very much. You mentioned just that bullpen and you mentioned real quick, Kenley Jansen, you're not worried. It seems like this year hasn't been the best for him. He obviously he dealt with the booze last night and has struggled, but still faith in the closer.
You know, it's not that I haven't really had confidence in Jansen coming into a game with a one or two run lead in a couple years now. So it's just a matter of, for the most part, he gets it done around 90% of the time, which is, over the grand scheme of things, is pretty good. But in the short sense, on the days that, like the last two nights, it's not great. He's blown the last three saves. The Dodgers, you know, if he just comes in and does his job in those three games, the Dodgers are up two games in the division. So it's a big swing on that end. The reason I'm not entirely worried is because I think they can push through the rest of the regular season and have an occasional hiccup with Kenley Jansen. And then once it gets to the postseason, you know, kind of how we saw last year, he's not necessarily going to be the closer night in and night out. We saw Julio close out the two biggest games for the Dodgers last year. We saw Blake Treinen close out a big game five in the World Series last year. So when it comes down to it, when it gets to the postseason, it becomes a pitching staff more so than a bullpen with a closer. And that's where I'm not too concerned about it. But yeah, it's And then sometimes, like I said, it's just not his fault. He threw 27 pitches on Wednesday. Dave Roberts brings him back out for some reason, a pitch on Thursday, when he hasn't done well on back-to-back days the entire season, especially throwing 27 pitches the day before. So that's not his fault. That's more on Dave Roberts. And that's, you know, issue of trying to get a redemption story, I guess, since he got booed the night before. So I don't know, but I'm not concerned about it right now. I feel like, though, at the very least, they'll be in the postseason, whether it's the one game playoff or as a division winner. So they just need to get in there.
Yeah. And they will be in there. The Dodgers are a good team. They've been a good team for a long time. And you know, players like Kenley there can really shine as well. And there's plenty of baseball left to be played. And why not make some money on that baseball action? Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball and your UFC and MMA action. You can get into the NBA and the NHL betting odds when they get back in action after we just wrapped up both the championships there. Before the next pitch, before the Dodgers and the Rockies, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device, and sign up today using the promo code Locked On and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Vince, I think Rockies fans might be getting down on me when they listen to this, because I feel like I haven't pumped up the team enough here. I think the Rockies do have the potential to come in and you know, turn some heads with what's on paper. They have new additions to the offense that are going to be cool. You know, if Connor Joe continues to swing the bat well, it's just, it's hard to be super enthusiastic about a team that has 9 wins on the road going up against a team that has a long history of success against them, especially when the Rockies are on the road. But with all of the question marks that we've talked about, I think the Rockies do have the potential to come in and maybe steal this series. If things go well, they just can't give the Dodgers any extra opportunities. And that's going to come to the bullpen, because I believe John Gray and Kyle Freeland are going to be able to keep you competitive for most of the game. They've shown success against the Dodgers, and Kyle Freeland got hit around a little bit in his last start, but not too bad. It's just a matter of that bullpen needs to keep you in games, and the offense needs to come alive like it can, but the inconsistencies there are another issue. But there's hope, but it could start off something special on the road for the Rockies. But Vince, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you an interesting what if question. The St. Louis Cardinals have underperformed this year. A certain star third baseman with ties to California, strong ties to California, has an opt-out clause in his contract. Is there any chance Nolan Arenado opts out of his deal, his past deal with the Rockies and now the Cardinals, and ends up in Dodger blue? Is that something that I don't want to, and I, Rockies fans everywhere just fell out of their chairs, myself included, because let me be clear, if this happens, I will be a very, very, very sad Rockies fan.
Yeah, it's you know, definitely a question. When the trade first went down, that was kind of the thought, right? Like, hey, he could still opt out. At least he gets to play a year for a potential contender, even though that kind of fell by the wayside, and he's not going to be in the playoffs this year, more than likely. But it's a possibility with the, you know, specifically for the Dodgers, the NL most likely getting the DH, assuming they do even play next year. And Justin Turner still having 2 years on his deal. He's still, you know, he's having one of the best years of his career, even though it's this late this late stage in his career, but he can move to DH pretty easily. He's been not that great defensively at third base this year. So that would be a quick, easy move for the Dodgers to make. And then right there's an opening at third base. And the other part is that Corey Seager is also a free agent after this year. So, you know, it just depends what they want to do. If they miss out on Seager, do they go after another shortstop? Because there's going to be a bunch of shortstops this offseason. Or do they, you know, maybe tamper a little bit? Hey, Nolan Arenado, if you opt out, we do have some money earmarked that was going to be for Corey Seager. Maybe you want to come over here and play in Los Angeles and man third base. And that's a possibility. I'm, you know, there's a lot of different possibilities, but I think the Cardinals not making the playoffs regardless of why it was, whether it's injuries or underperformance or whatever the case may be, you know, Arenado, do you really want to be there? It's not guaranteed that you're going to be in the playoffs every year there, where if you come to Los Angeles, you're guaranteed to at least be in the playoffs at some point for the next few years, just the way the team is built. So I wouldn't mind that at all, you know, especially, you know, Justin Turner's offense has got me excited this year, but the defense has not. Corey Seager, I'm not entirely sure what he's going to do. He's having a weird year since he's been hurt and wasn't that great even before he got hurt. So it's a matter of, I don't think he's going to take a discount, and maybe the Dodgers don't want to put that money on him. He has been hurt a couple of times in the past, and whatever the case may be. So that's an interesting, you know, topic and interesting question for sure. And you know, like I said, I wouldn't mind it. And like I said, everything is lined up for the Dodgers to kind of make that run if they really wanted to, if he does opt out.
It's something you can't ignore. It's definitely not just a random fairy tale type of idea. There's a lot of threads there and there's a lot of possibilities, but that's a lot of money to step away from. That's a lot. And because he wouldn't make that money again. There's just no way. Yeah. He wouldn't get that deal. He wouldn't get the length that's on that deal. So, but I don't necessarily know if that's the biggest deal to him now that he knows that how valued he is as a baseball player and really to baseball itself. I mean, they marketed him a little bit with the Rockies, but now it's anytime the Cardinals are mentioned, it's Arenado's face is the one they use. I'm still not even over the one trade, but if it ends up with an opt-out and Nolan in LA, I don't even know what I can do.
Yeah, that's probably the worst case scenario for Rockies fans, I would imagine.
Honestly, the worst, absolute worst case scenario, especially with the fact that this team that really, you know, because in my eyes in 2021 was going to be the year the Rockies actually, when you were following the trajectory they were going, this was the year we were going to really take the punch at the Dodgers and on stuff led by Nolan and Trevor in the infield. And even after the DJ trade, I think Ryan McMahon would have been a good enough piece. And all they needed was a CJ Krohn. I feel like in 2019, and the Rockies could be a completely different team. But that is what it is. The Rockies take on the Dodgers this weekend should be a good one. I don't know. I think the Rockies are really trying to show that they have a little bit more going for them than their road record shows. They have some opportunities to take advantage of with a Dodgers team that's a little banged up. So we'll see what happens. Vince, thank you so much for your time. Before we go, you know, feel free to tell everyone where to find you, where they need to go to stay up to date with all things Dodgers and Vince.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Vince Samperio, the Locked On Dodgers podcast, wherever you get your podcast. And if you want to follow the Dodgers a little more closely, you can follow at Ravine Fiends on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, if I'm always down to interact with Rocky fans since there's usually not too much interaction going on.
Yeah, well, we're hoping for the best as Rockies fans, hoping to take down big brother today or this weekend. Here's hoping. First pitch tonight, Rockies fans, 8:10 Mountain Time for you all. Before we go, make sure that you are checking out Locked On Bets. Betting on the Rockies doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Vince, thank you so much for your time. And this is Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.